Well, on this All Saints Day, we have the wonderful story of Jonah. What a delightful story. And maybe for in honor of this occasion, we'll call him Saint Jonah. Of course, as I think of Saint Jonah, I think, well, you know, he didn't start out with a very good example for us. I mean, here's this guy who God says, go east to do your preaching and work with the people in Nineveh. And what does he do? He goes west to Tarshish, which I think is an all-inclusive resort on the Mediterranean or somewhere. So he just bolts the other way, jumps a ship, and gets out of Dodge. He doesn't want to hang around and go to Nineveh. Now you'd think, well, he doesn't want to do that because he doesn't like to preach. Maybe he doesn't want to do that because those Ninevites are really mean. He doesn't want to do that because it's a long journey or something. No, we're going to find out. He doesn't want to do this because he knows that if he preaches, they might listen and they might find God's mercy. He can't stand that idea. And he says, I'd rather die than those Ninevites get mercy. Well, I hate to say it, but the people of Nineveh kind of deserve that. Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It is the most powerful empire of that day. It covered hundreds and hundreds of miles in all directions. And to become that empire, of course, they conquered these other nations. And one of the nations they conquered was the northern kingdom of Israel, where the 10 tribes of Israel settled. They came in and they destroyed it. They killed the people, they kept some of the slaves, they hauled off the stuff back as booty to Assyria. After they were done with that, they turned to the southern kingdom. Now that's where Jonah's from. He's from the southern kingdom. He's a Judean from the tribe of Judah down there. And they came in and they started attacking Judah. And the first battle they fought was at a place called Lachish. Now Lachish was a fortified city and they laid siege to it. They broke through the walls and they destroyed it, taking them as slaves and taking their stuff off as booty. In fact, if you look in the front of your bulletin, just turn to the picture on the front of your bulletin. It's a strange little picture. It is from about 2,700 years ago. The palace of Nineveh, the people apparently went along and they carved this painting, this image, into the palace wall 2,700 years ago. And it shows the people of Nineveh and Assyria hauling the Judean slaves from Lachish back to Nineveh, and their little carts full of the booty that they got from the sack town. So they memorialized this battle of Judah, where they came and attacked them on the palace wall, and amazingly, we still have some of those images today. And so we're asking Jonah to go call Nineveh to repent. That seems pretty shallow, huh? This is a people who killed and pillaged and destroyed everybody and people he knew and loved. For those who show no mercy, you want me to show mercy? Potential mercy? Can you imagine that? That's just awful that they would know grace. That they know God's love. I mean, that's... Well, here we are Lutherans in this modern world, and we Lutherans on our 500th anniversary of the Reformation, heading for that, are ones who like to say, we're all about this mercy and grace stuff. It's right at the heart of who we are. In fact, one of the reasons we've come here today is to hear that message. That, oh, maybe God loves me still. Maybe God's still working in my life for good things. That God is still active and there's hope for me and love for me in my life. Because we live in a world full of judgment. You're measured. You're judged for how you look, what you do, you don't do. And all that judgment out here, it comes inside too, doesn't it? In fact, the hardest thing is to stop it from ourselves, from thinking our own thoughts about, oh, I don't really like myself because I'm flawed here, I don't measure up there, I'm not good enough there, I don't like what I look like, I don't like what I'm doing, whatever else. We judge. Even for ourselves. Beat ourselves up over it. One of the things we hope here today is the grace from the scriptures, the grace at this table can kind of start peeling that back. Peeling the tight grip we got on that self-judgment open our hands a little bit to know, no, you're loved. You are just loved unconditionally for who you are. That's the love of God that we know. Well, it's kind of hard to receive that for ourselves, but today we're going to invite you up and light candles in memory of loved ones that we have lost and that we miss. It's easy, though, to think they're going to get grace, isn't it? It's easy to think them, you know, I'm going to light a candle for my mom and dad. It's just real easy to think, well, mom and dad, they get grace. They got God's love. They're alive with God. It's easy there. A little harder for myself. A little harder to accept that and let that soak in and peel that tight judgment that I have about myself. Well, if that's easy, this is a little harder. Maybe the hardest place to know that grace and mercy comes is to those who are those we dislike, those we just don't like, can't stand even. That's the toughest place, that God's mercy and love might be for them, that he might forgive them and not just destroy them and blot them off the earth. That's tough. Then I think of those people standing in the medians with their little signs. God's grace for them, or maybe tucked away along the creek there in a tent. I mean, they need to work, don't they? Grace to them, you know, they need to get out and do something with their lives. And grace for them? And how about this season where we're so upset about what's going on in politics? Could it be possible that God's grace would even be for those that we wish God would maybe do something a little less favorable to? Running for office somewhere? Where we want God's judgment, God's wrath to show up, and God might be gracious even there? Whoa. This is really disturbing. Grace is disturbing. It's terrible. Just goes out to people. You know, what hope is there for us who struggle with this stuff? Well, Jesus told the parable, of course, and it goes right along these lines. It's wonderfully along these lines. Of course, it's about the tax collector and this Pharisee who go up to the temple to pray. And of course, the Pharisee, who was an upstanding citizen, a supporter of God and country in his day. And they were all wrapped together. God and country were the same thing in the ancient world. So he's one of these wonderful mans that does what it takes to make that all great and wonderful. And upstanding. I mean, everybody looked to him. His behavior was above the boards. But he looked down, of course, at that tax collector and said, God, I'm glad I'm not like this guy anyway. Of course, the tax collector. Now, he's the one against God and country, which, again, are all together in that ancient world, because he served the latest conquering army in Israel, the Romans. They're just like the Assyrians and the Ninevites. They're the same bunch. But he was a local guy helping them by collecting taxes for them and doing pretty good. So someone who's doing something against God and country and actually thriving a bit doing that, oh, that is not a person you're going to like. I'm sure if the Roman Empire went away, they might kill these guys as unpatriotic and against God. Then he beat his chest, cried out to God for mercy. And Jesus said he went away justified before God because he got it. If there's some hope for us, if there's some way ahead for us in this world, if there's some thing, it's all grace. Really? Really? It's all grace? Isn't there some room for a little deserving in here somewhere, the fact that we've worked hard? I don't know. But if you think of most of the things in our lives, they're gifts, aren't they? If you have some gifts and abilities, some talents in your life, did you create them? Of course not. If you have some prosperity, if you have some education, aren't those gifts from this country in a lot of ways? You just being born here, you didn't ask for that. And that hard work thing. Didn't somebody teach you that? Maybe your parents, maybe your family, maybe the country, some employer taught you to work hard. And you might say to me, oh, pastor, really, I've always worked hard. It's just who I am. Well, then I'd have to say, well, it sounds like you were gifted with that. You know, the root word of grace in the Greek is gift. Grace is gift. What hope is there for us who are stingy with grace like Jonah? Well, Jonah's dirty, of course. He ran away, and what happens? God sends a storm, and he ends up in the belly of a fish. Down in the depth and the darkness of the Mediterranean. Deep. Mysterious place. Don't know what to make of that place. 3 days, he had to go to this other place, this dark, crazy place. 3 days, because I think that was the 3 days it took for him to change. And say, hold it, God. You know, if there's any hope for my life, if there's any future for my life, if there's any good in my life, it's from you. If I'm going to see light again in this world, it's because you're going to save me out of this fish. And if there's any future for me to serve or be anything in this world, it's because you're going to spit me up on the land again and give me another chance. If there's anything, it's because you're going to be gracious to me. But I think in the life of us as God's people, it's a baptismal journey. And a baptism's never a one and done, people. It's never one splash on the head, one dunk in the tank, and you're good. I mean, you're good. But it's something that marks you as keeps happening. That it marks this sense of going under the water to that deep, dark, mysterious place that says, hold it, we got to be transformed yet again. We got to find ourselves broken and humbled yet again so that God might exalt us. That's how you become saints. Not on our own doing it, through the exalting of God for what is broken, what is in the dark and the depths, and reemerges. That's our journey. That's the journey of the saints around us. And that is the journey for all people. For God is determined to try to bring them grace, even the worst ones. They might go through the darkness and that fish and the mysteriousness of somehow being lost for a time, humbled and broken, and yet again exalted. Because there's grace for them. There's love for them. It's for all people. So when you come up here today after this sermon hymn and light a candle, and it's a sign that God's grace is burning for these folks. But while you pass by, it invites you to maybe dip in the water. And remember that it's by grace you too are saved. Through the waters, through the word of God and the work of the Spirit in your life, changing you and bringing you back around. That water signifies that. God's word and Spirit at work, exalting what is broken and humbled and bringing life. Amen.